You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome to the Best Practices Show. My name is Kirk Barrett, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all across the country. And I've got a super huge treat for you today. I call this guy my little brother. I've watched him just explode on the speaking circuit, Rob Zbirsky. So do me a favor, you're going to love this. Grab a pen, hit the share button, and we'll see you in just a second.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Barrett is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you are looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
All right. Hey, welcome back to the Best Practices Show. You are going to love today. So a couple of program notes I just want you to know about. We are shooting this live on Facebook as we do all of these. So we've got it going where we've got the feed on the side. So if you have questions, and as I'm interviewing my great guest today, please feel free to ask the questions as they come up, because I'm going to ask him as we're rolling here too. Also, in about an hour, maybe hour and 10 minutes or so, we're going to run the webinar people have been asking about. There's five key numbers that you really have to pay attention to in your practice. So you'll see a link above this video. Don't miss it, because I've been getting a lot of questions about it, and I'm just going to clarify it and go through each one of them. And you have to know these numbers in your practice. But my guest today, Rob Z, brother, it is so good to see you. Thanks for being on, man.
Oh, thanks for having me. Long time watcher, first time participant.
Stop. We're going to do this all day long. Now, I'm going to tell a story about how I met you. I saw you years ago, and it was a program in Madison at the Seattle Study Club Network. Is that right?
Yep. There. Dr. Hoyer's group.
And then I just kind of knew what you were up to, or got a little inkling of what you were up to. And then it just went like this, and it went crazy. And your whole organization, what you've been doing, you speak all over the place to all different industries, not just dentistry. It is wildly entertaining, hugely informative. Like, you don't even use slides or anything. You just roll and you can go in every direction. Now, the importance of today, I want you guys to really kind of understand what today is all about. This guy and what they do, they actually teach people and train them how to fix your brain in a way that you're more successful, which is fascinating. Now, it's not only a science and it's an art. Can you describe this whole concept of train your brain? Because you guys wrote the book on train your brain for success, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my partner, Roger Seid, he got approached to write a book, which that whole story is ridiculous how I came to be. It's so much fun. I travel around the country teaching people how to be better versions of themselves. I sleep okay at night. But yeah, fundamentally what we're doing, we're helping people learn how they can train their own brain to be more successful in everything that they do. We're talking a lot about helping people learn about and understand how to manage their mind and their thoughts in a way that's going to help them get the best results possible, in risk of sounding corny, in an ongoing, consistent basis. You know, anybody can have a flash in the pan success, but then how do you run your man behind the curtain in your brain to help you put together consistent, ongoing, top level performance and results?
Yeah. How in the world did you get into this? Like, take us through that. Did you always want to get into this? Did you fall into this? What happened?
Yeah. So I get asked this question all the time. 7 or 8 years ago, I straight up needed a job. Okay. And I used to work in the bicycle industry, and my job was relocated from Madison, Wisconsin to Bethel, Connecticut. My wife was 6 months pregnant with the twins. Wow. And I just didn't have a good feeling about the leadership at the organization. So I was offered a relocation package or a severance package. I took the severance. I had actually met the two founders of the company 5 or 6 years earlier, one of those murder mystery dinner parties. Like, we were mutually infatuated with what each other did. I thought it was awesome that they were professional speakers, and they thought it was awesome that I worked in the bike industry. So my neighbor, fast forward my neighbor, I'm out mowing the lawn. He's like, "Hey, Rob, you remember Roger? He's looking for somebody. I think he'd be good at it." So I interviewed, unbeknownst to each other. We lived 2 blocks away from each other. So at that point, we're like, okay, clearly this is meant to be. And I'm a product of our product. I had somewhere between little and zero experience in personal and professional development. The only experience I had was one of those Get Motivated Now seminars where my biggest takeaway was don't eat mayonnaise. So like, yeah. I was like, you talk about like the blank slate. So I made the decision to go, all right, I'm pretty sure I'm capable of more. And I think this content's going to help me do it. So yeah, I've spent like the last 5-6 years really getting embedded in the curriculum that we offer. And it's just a blast. My job doesn't suck.
Yeah, that's good. It's really cool when you can say that. That's like the essence of having fun at work. Now, but you and I talked about this because the whole concept of personal development, people are like, I don't want to, what are you going to do? You're going to make me walk across coals. Like, there's a whole different thought process around personal development. Can you just describe that?
Yeah, you nailed it. It's, like right, wrong, or indifferent. People hear personal development, and some people I talk to, they're like, okay, so is that going to cost me like $10,000 and do I have to walk naked across some coals, right? And that's an option, right? Yeah. We don't have that option available. But what we've really found is there's a lot of different ways to approach it. I mean, one of our most popular program, shameless self-promotion, is the memory training program, where we teach people how to remember names and lists and numbers and abstract information. And literally just the practice of learning how to train your memory and use it the way it's designed to be used, that's technically personal development. And I know people who've had life-changing experiences because of this skill. Learning how to read faster with higher comprehension is another thing that we teach people. And they're just, people are blown away in how quickly they can see immediate results and then apply that to their life.
Right. How about a course where you can remember where you put your keys? Do you have anything like that?
I actually teach that as part of our memory training.
Do you really?
Yeah, we do. We
have all the time.
Curing absent-mindedness. That'll be the last air quotes I do today. But yeah, or walking into the hereafter is my favorite. When you walk into a room, you're like, oh, dude, what am I hereafter? I don't, what the heck do I do?
That
I do
is that? Awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, we got all kinds of methodologies for helping you. Whatever you want to remember, we can help you with that.
Yeah. And I think what you do is hugely important too, because in our work, I mean, this is like the ultimate acid test for what happens in everybody else's lives. If you can fix this, you've heard all these experts, you have Daniel Amen's, the ability to control your, all these brain experts say the ability to control your brain determines how healthy your life is. I mean, you could go to every single expert that's ever written something on being successful. It starts between the ears and the investment that you put in this. So protecting this also too, as we age, this can get weird. My mom always says it's either your body or your brain goes first. And let's hope it's, your body, because the brain is just an important piece. So take us into the brain. This is going to be a dangerous track, but what are you seeing out there? Are you seeing people losing their minds? Do you see some unhealthy, what are you seeing?
Yeah, here's what I see. And to your point, you mentioned this earlier. One of the cool parts about my job is I do a ton of work in the dental world, which I love. And I have so much fun. We have so much fun. I have the privilege of doing programs with every kind of industry you can imagine. I work with financial advisors, financial planners, insurance agents, car dealers, engineers. One of my biggest clients is the number one supplier of bull semen in the state of Wisconsin. It was a weird meeting.
Yeah.
So here's what I think. It doesn't matter what you do. There's a couple of things we see happening over and over and over for people is they end up on the hamster wheel, and they have this mindset. They have this belief in their head that they're so busy all the time, and they just get stuck in a comfort zone that is being okay with busy and being good. And I see people, they settle. You have unlimited potential. I know that's corny sounding, and every motivational speaker talks about how you have unlimited potential, but it's really true. And you end up getting a story in your head. And unfortunately, you're often the only person in the world that believes that story.
Right.
And so what I see this showing up is people who they work and work and work all day, and they are spent at the end of the day, and they don't accomplish anything. Mm-hmm. And then when they get home to their kids, or they get home to their family or their spouse, they just want to veg out and watch TV and they're just a lump, which I'm all for recovery too. But I see this false story of how busy they are because they're not effective in what they do. And it's amazing how there's so many tools available to people. And it starts with how you talk to yourself and what you believe in yourself. And that just parlays and it's a domino effect on your success or your failure, to be honest. You know, I see stuff like, I'm so busy all the time. But then you see it show up like when people are trying to read. We talk about this all the time. You've been reading something and you get to the bottom of the page, the end of the paragraph, and all of a sudden you're like, my brain was not in this book. What the heck did I just read? And then they end up rereading over and over and over again. And they're like, oh, I don't like reading, because they don't actually read. They just keep looking at words. The memory thing, another one, you know, if you forget someone's name 5 seconds later, 5 seconds after you meet them, it has a lot to do with your brain and its default settings. So,
yeah, I'm taking notes here as we're talking, because I've said this, you know, our whole company and everybody, we've talked about this concept, but the whole word busy, I don't like the word busy anymore. I think busy is just a bad word. When you walk into a dental office or you talk to a dentist or a team and you go, how you doing? Well, we're busy. I'm like, I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's good, bad. And in most cases, it can be on the fringe there, because was it a hugely relevant or productive day, or was it the kind of stuff that you want to do? Now, on the other side of it too, I want you to go heavy in the self-talk, because this is a big deal. Like when I was 30, I wasn't so, you know, self-talk, I'm like, whatever, self-talk. Then you get older and you cross the 40 threshold and then you learn you have to self-talk, and your self-talk has got to be good talk, especially when you have a wife and kids. You have to talk to yourself. My kids will go, Dad, you're doing it again. I'm like, they'll see me. Because I'm like coaching myself. Now, how important is that to the whole psychological and physiological function of a human being?
I'm not a doctor, right? We're on the same page there.
Like, right.
Because the only letters after my name are my last name. But it sets the tone for everything. And it starts right when you wake up in the morning. You know, it has to do with like the different brain waves that you go through throughout the course of the day. Like you wake up, when you wake up, your brain is just in this nice, relaxed, borderline Zen state. And anything you say to yourself or any thought that you have or anything you read, it has a direct link. It's like taking the bat cave. It goes right into your subconscious. And the subconscious, you know, like that's the thing running the show in your brain. And so when you can connect with and you can talk to your subconscious in a way that gets it excited to move you in the right direction, it all starts there. And it's little things like so many people I talk to, the alarm goes off and the first thing out of their mouth is,
Right.
You know, and then the people who get in the habit of going, it's going to be a great day.
Right.
I'm a money magnet. I have no emotional attachment to money. Yeah. It's time to make the donuts. That's how I start my day every day. And I know it's a difference maker.
It is. I very rarely ever take the elevator. Like our offices are on the fifth floor. You know, we always try to take the stairs whenever we can, but when you're carrying something, sometimes you get in the elevator. And then it's interesting. I always feel bad for these people. Sometimes they come into the elevator and they're drinking a big gulp that's like a 92-ouncer, right? And it's 8 o'clock in the morning. And then they hit the button and you know which floor they're going to? They're going to floor number two, right? And then you go, how's your day? And they go, living the dream, man. And you're like, oh, buddy, come on. We get one shot at this thing called a day, man. This is going to be an amazing day. You know?
Yeah, it's funny. I've actually got my kids doing this now too. They started my kids are 7 now. And man, I think we started this as soon as I think they were like 3. And every day it's going to be a great day. And now I got to FaceTime with them this morning and they're like, it's going to be a great day, Dad. As a parent, like how you talk to yourself, how you talk to your kids, it just sets the tone for like you're in charge.
Right.
Why not take charge and talk to yourself and talk to people around you in a way that's going to help get the results you're looking for?
Right. I think it just kind of sets everything in place when you start the day like that. Now, there's so much talk around the essence and the power of gratitude. Tell us about this, because I've always been a big believer when you use gratitude is one of the most powerful emotions ever. And when you authentically experience gratitude, it cuts off all the air supply to every other emotion. Because when you're truly grateful, you can't feel angry. You can't feel sad. You can't feel anything, but holy cow, I get a day here, you know?
Yeah, it's true. We share this all the time. It's impossible to be negative and to be grateful at the same time.
Yeah.
Those two thoughts cannot coexist at the same time. You're either negative or you're grateful.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer grateful. We do a little exercise in some of our workshops. We ask people like, you know, can you identify a problem? And people, they're like, yeah, you know, and what happens is there's a pause and then the hand, they go up slow. right? Yeah. They get to about here. Yeah. And then in order for the hand to go up any higher, they literally have to like shrink down.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And yeah. then we ask the same question. We're like, okay, how many of you can find something you're grateful for? And the hands, they shoot up really fast and they go up higher. And some people, it's like church, all rise, you know, the whole crowd raises. And there's nothing external that changes in order for them to get these two totally different responses to essentially the same question. And so what we know is that when you practice gratitude, there's a whole chain reaction of thoughts that happens in your brain that it just sets off this whole, it's like when you light the firecracker and it's all these other thoughts revolving around gratitude, enthusiasm, love, joy, excitement. And then it sets off this whole chemical reaction inside your body. And you got like these hormones and neuropeptides, and I'm not a doctor, so I'm not qualified to talk about it, but there's this whole thing that goes on inside and it physically manifests itself in how you answer questions. And so what we tell people all the time is if you're having that, are we PG or PG-13? Where are we on this show?
Just go there, man.
All right. So like, well, I'm having a crappy day. Like, I bet you are. People have crappy days all the time. It takes you a split second to find something you're grateful for. Take 30 seconds to focus on the thing you're grateful for.
Yeah.
And like, what I tell people is reverse worry, like fast forward, time travel to a year from now, and you still got that thing you're grateful for. And like you got a year of compound interest of goodness tied to that thing. You literally watch people like smiles go up and like they relax, the shoulders drop. And I'm like, you feel better now? Like, I do. One of my favorite stories about practicing gratitude, my mother-in-law, I love her. She's amazing. She's the most generous person I know. And then she's also had historically been known for being pretty negative.
Mm-hmm.
We banned her from hosting garage sales.
Why?
I love you, Mary Ellen. We found out it was just a platform for her to complain about cheap people. It was amazing.
Oh,
right?
Really?
So anyway, it was one day, like my father-in-law has a 1947 Ford convertible and he loves to take the grandkids out. They live up in Ripon, right? Mm-hmm. So God's country up there. And they go to the Peacock. It's just a great grandparent, grandkid thing. Well, she was pretty spicy this one day. And she was complaining because not all the kids could fit in the convertible. So she's like, that's, you know, it's northern Wisconsin.
Right.
So finally, I kind of had enough. And I looked at her, I said, Mary Ellen, we're on the driveway. I go, and the whole family's there. I go, Mary Ellen, I need three things you're grateful for right now.
Uh-huh.
And I look, the perif gets really, really honed in when I say stuff like this. I'm watching my sister-in-law go, yeah. Don't poke the bear. This is why I love my mother-in-law, though. She looks at me right in the eye. She goes, the Green Bay Packers, Diet Pepsi, and you, Rob, I'm grateful for you. And she throws me this. But then we all started laughing. And it's just, it's been an amazing tool. And now it's like the ongoing joke. Now we make the kids do it. Like, go ask grandma what she's grateful for today.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's an amazing tool that you have to just get you out of that funk and get you in, quote unquote, the right mindset, the winning mindset, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Now this is hugely important. So if you're a dentist watching this, the danger of a dentist, especially a dentist that's watching a lot of CE or things like this, you do this because you want to get better. And typically you do get better. You've got the urge for things to be better and better and better and almost perfect. And perfect can be very dangerous to the psyche of a great restorative dentist. And when you walk in the office in the morning and you're set up to look for perfect, you can fall into what my coach, Dan Sullivan, says. He calls it the gap. It's the gap between what you know is possible or ideal and where you're at. And that's a very dangerous place to be. And it has a ripple effect because dentists can't recover. They had a bad start to a day, the huddle, or even a conversation with their spouse at home. It bleeds into the schedule and you can see it. If you're a dental assistant, you know in a second, you see the vein coming out of the dentist's neck in the first hour and an hour and a half. And now you're thinking, we just got to get him through the day or her through the day. So give us some tools because you get to see all this stuff. Like, how can you train your brain? Like, walk us through some steps and how, where would I start? I need the memory. I need everything. So fix my brain, Rob.
Fix your brain. All right. Yeah. I know you got a webinar coming up pretty soon. So I'm not a miracle worker. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So, all right. So here's the first thing I tell people all the time is just like there's four really important words I share with people.
Okay.
And that's just be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
You were talking about the gap. People put themselves, especially in a specialized industry like restorative dentistry or comprehensive dentistry, you guys and gals are known for being on the top of your game, right? And yeah, you probably don't have the margin of error that some other people do, but you can still be kind to yourself. And that ties in. But I mean, it starts with, affirmations and talking yourself in the right way. It's saying either positive or neutral comments, focusing on only using positive or neutral comments.
Right. Now go back to that, because you said, we talked about this. What happens when you go, "How you doing?" And I go, "I'm good."
Oh, like, this is, so I'm hyper passionate about this one right now. I'm on a personal mission to eliminate the words "I'm good" from my vocabulary, which right. If you're watching this, I challenge you for 1 hour to try this. It's amazing how many opportunities you have to use the words. Can I get you something? I'm good. Would you like something to drink? I'm good. Have you tried this? I'm good. Did you come? I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. And so part of the reason is, and this is a little like motivational speaker-y sounding, but yeah. How you talk to yourself, what you say to yourself and the words that you use, that has a massive impact on your ability to be more successful in business, in relationships, in physical fitness. It's the ripple effect, to use your term. And so what happens is, if your brain only ever hears, "I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good," what happens is it gets a picture, the subconscious gets a picture for good, and it ends up limiting your potential. Like right. You literally end up limiting yourself in what you could be exposed to, what you experience, because you end up getting into this comfort zone of "I'm good."
Right.
And so, yeah, it's just pay attention. Just be aware of what you say to yourself, what you say to other people.
And the self-talk is critically important. I'm sure you've heard this cliche: when people tell a lie long enough, they believe it. They start to believe it. And it's no different when you're telling yourself a truth, like, "Oh, I'm just good today." Or you say, "This is going to suck." Or if you've ever had conflict in your life, this is what you tell yourself. You're going to like, "Oh, this is going to be horrible. I'm going to call her. She's going to be so mad. This is going to absolutely explode." And then you call her and she says, "Thank you for calling." And you go, "Well, that wasn't so bad." You prepare yourself for a disaster and it never happens.
Right.
You know, what if we started on the other side, say, "Hey, look, today's going to be incredible." You know what I mean? Now it's not perfect, but it's going to be incredible. So great. I'm sure you all, if you're watching this, you've talked to somebody, you go, you get into an Uber and you ask the Uber driver, "How are you doing?" And they go, "Better than I deserve."
I hear those like, all the time.
Amen. You know,
no, I know. But going back to this, it's just finding different ways to say it. You know, "Can I get you a coffee?" "You know, I'm exceptionally well caffeinated this morning. Thank you."
I like that. Yeah. I like that.
"Can I get you water?" "Oh, I'm so well hydrated. Thank you."
Yeah. That's awesome.
And the thing is, people love it. They're like, "Oh, that's a good one." I'm like, you said that.
Yeah. There you go. So be kind to yourself. That would be kind of the self-talk. Just start with really good self-talk.
And then we do a lot of coaching with folks. And the first thing that we always help people identify are, we talk about having a heightened awareness of the things that matter.
Right.
And so the things that matter, the things that we're talking about specifically, are things like your core values, your purpose, your vision, your bigger picture goals and dreams, your spirituality, these things that, you know, you would hang your hat on. They're, you know, how do you want people to talk about you when you die? And then are you living a life that's in integrity, I guess, for lack of a better term, that reflects that?
Right.
You know, so people understand that having clarity on what you're all about, it helps people make better decisions faster. They sleep better at night. They have a lot more energy in everything they do. They're not wasting mental bandwidth trying to figure out, "Well, should I do this? Should I not do this? Is it the right thing? Is this a good scenario? Is this not a bad scenario? What might happen? What might happen? What might not happen?"
Right.
It just provides a lot more clarity. That's the number one word I hear from people I work with, is I just have a lot more clarity now.
Right.
And, you know, Kirk, and what you do, like, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Clarity is huge. Self-awareness and clarity are like the two biggest things for people.
Yeah, you'll find the more clarity you have, the less stress everybody else has in most cases. The lack of clarity is just fertile ground for conflict. You know, whether it be between a husband and wife, my biggest challenge is Sarah will say something, my wife will say something to me, or I'll say, "Oh," and you could just see, "Are you coming to get me? Or am I coming to get you? Like, or what time?" And then, you know, it all blows up and I'm thinking clarity fixes a lot of different things. Now go back. You said one of my favorite phrases ever. It's called core values. And now when you're younger, you know, if you're a dentist watching this, you're like, "Oh, core values, I'm tired of that." But it's probably one of the most important bodies of work you'll ever do, especially being a parent. So how important are core values into framing this thing we call our brain?
It's the moral compass, man. Right. Well, maybe that's not a fair statement. It's the foundation for everything that we do with our clients moving forward. To answer your question, core values are incredibly important. They get a lot of lip service. And they get a lot of lip service. There's a lot of exposure to them because a lot of companies and organizations will have, "These are our core values." And I always love when I'm researching my clients, I always, "All right, let me see what this core value list looks like." Yeah. And it's amazing because I love that they've done the exercise. And it's fascinating to see how much overlap there is. It's like you have 19 core values listed or something like that. Like you have four ideas that you actually believe in. And yeah, that's just not clear to people. You know, when we identify core values, it's interesting because you can use them as a almost like a checks and balances, right? If you ever experience failure, it's really easy to go, great, was I acting in line with my core values or was I operating out of line with my core values? It's usually, if you did it right, it's a simple yes or no answer.
Right.
And you're not wasting time going, well, why did I do that? Why did that happen? Well, it's because you weren't in line with your core values.
Yeah.
Move on. Be kind to yourself, learn from it, move on. And it's great because when I work with people, you know, I'll work with people for 12 weeks, 6 months, and they'll show up on a call, be like, oh yeah, this, it just didn't go well. I'm like, okay, so talk me through it. Great. Right. Well, were you living your core value of integrity in that moment?
Right.
No. I think we found the problem. And so Great. Now we've identified it and then we can fix it. It's a system. The beauty of a system is you can find some place to go back and check in with it.
Absolutely.
You teach this. I'm not going to tell you this. You do a fantastic job sharing this with your clients, but you know, like FedEx, you know, they have a system. My friend says, well, if you want to send a box to Wichita, you put it in the big bin. The guy at the hub looks at the box and says, Wichita. Okay, here's the Wichita conveyor belt. And he puts it on the Wichita and it shows. He doesn't go, Wichita, hope it gets there. You know, you can always check on that. So anyway, I'm off topic. I'm in the weeds now.
Oh, man. Well, we could talk about systems forever because that's like the cornerstone for ultimate happiness. It's kind of a rhythm, a cadence. It's a predictable nature of things. Now, the other thing you said, too, is heightened awareness. Like, because I think the rubber meets the road in somebody's growth and development, either as a leader, as a business owner, even a chairside assistant, is they become more aware. Awareness is huge. What is it?
Okay. So here's the beauty of like the things that are important to you. Here's spoiler alert. You already know what they are.
Right.
The challenge for most people is that they live back here in the back of their mind. They're a back of the mind thought. You put systems in place for taking them from the back of the mind and putting them right here in the front of your mind.
Right.
So that's things like having a clear vision statement and reading it and connecting with it every single day.
Right.
It's reviewing your core values every single day. It's having a clear picture for the goal that you're chasing down, having a visual representation, a dream board.
Yeah.
Right. Having your goals visible every day. This thing practically called immersion, where we teach people, look, if your goal is to buy a new home in 2018, then you change your passwords on every account to new home 2018. So every time you check your email, new home 2018. Every time you log on to Facebook, new home 2018. Every time you check your bank account, new home 2018. That's the kind of thing that I call it feeds your elephant. Right. I refer to your conscious as there's a book out there, The Ant and the Elephant by Vincent Pacenti. It's a great book. It talks about the relationship between your conscious and your subconscious. And the subconscious is your elephant. It's running the show. And to feed your elephant, you've got to do things like immerse your goals into your way. You know, if you're doing yoga in the morning and you've got a production goal tied to the number 40, you hold your poses for 40 seconds or you do 40 breaths. You do 40 jumping jacks or 40 sit-ups. There's different ways to take and immerse that goal into your life and that your brain, that which just feeds your elephant. Your elephant goes, I want that. And it goes after it. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I love that.
And you said like, where do you start? And there's no one answer to this.
Uh-huh.
You know this, you've heard this before. This is my favorite cheesy motivational speaker line is everyone's looking for the key to success and you're never going to find it because it's a combination lock. Corniest line, but so relevant and so accurate. And so it's not just changing your passwords, right? It's changing your passwords and having a visual for the goal and maybe having a 3x5 note card. And it's talking to yourself. It's like, I always talk about making a cocktail, right? We got a shot of this. We got a splash of that. You got a couple of cubes of this and you blend it all together. And that's an awesome life.
It is. And this is hard work too. I mean, this is very intentional work that you have to do every single day. And I always joke about this, but there are so many people in this industry in the world. Everybody wants to run a marathon and get the medal, but nobody wants to do the training. Nobody wants to commit themselves to 16 weeks of hard work. And when you really commit yourself to the training and the regular steps that are involved, what happens is the marathon becomes the byproduct and the easy thing. And you're like, oh, that was so much fun because you've worked so hard to do that. So these are key pieces. What are some other pieces of the recipe or things that you would say to me as a young dentist or even a mature person?
So it's super relevant to me right now just because of the workshop I taught yesterday. Everybody's had the why talk.
Right.
Right. And so the why talk, it's not like jump the shark yet. Okay. Right. But you know, it gets talked about all the time.
Right.
Here's why the why is so important. You know, you watch the Cynic video, you get the TiVo example, you know, you get the, everybody uses the Apple. Great. The thing that people would benefit from understanding better is your brain already knows how to do, and your brain already knows what to do. Where people's gap lies is keeping connected with why it's important in the first place. You dentists, you know how to do your job. Mm-hmm. You know what to do your job really well. Where you would benefit is having a very clear picture for why you're even walking in the door to do your job in the first place. Because when you focus on that bigger picture thing, when you're clear on that, the how and the what, they just happen. The analogy I use for people is if you're out on a hike and you know it's important for you to get back to the trailhead because you got to get home in time for dinner, you're on the path, you're on the hike, and there's a log down in the middle of the path. You don't get to the log and go, you step over the log and you keep going.
Right.
Right. Your brain doesn't sit there and go, okay, well, I should probably raise my hip flexor at this angle in order to get my knee and ankle up and over. It knows how.
Right.
You don't have to, you know how to clean teeth. Mm-hmm. You know what to do to sanitize your tools. That's not the point. If people took half as much bandwidth as they dedicate to focusing on how they do what they do, if they took half of that and focused on and staying connected to why what they're doing is important in the first place, holy cow. The impact is, it's amazing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And the best thing, you know, again, if you're a dentist watching this, the best example of that is we've seen some of the highest producers in dentistry anywhere in the world, and they are extraordinarily good at one thing that nobody else is. It's establishing the why. And it's not so much your why, because anybody could put up a case right now and go, oh, this is what has to be done. But your ability to connect deeply with their why, when they really feel connected with why they're doing it, all the how, the what, and all that stuff just becomes so incredibly easy. And you see that missed all so often. Even when you're teaching kids, like you have kids, 7, you know, you can tell them what to do, but they got to know why. You're not doing that. And here's why. Okay. Here's why. Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you why. Because in my family, I make the rules. Because in your family, you can make your own rules. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
I think it's important for dentists, especially, to have a good frame of reference as far as what that means. Because you hear about it all the time. And there's like two things I want to say here. One is frame of reference. And so I use this one with the people. All right. So I'm a professional speaker, mm-hmm. right? So what I do is I get in front of groups of people, or I work one-on-one with people, and I teach them personal development skills, professional development skills. How I do that is I hop on a plane. I spend a bunch of time on a fart tube, as my son likes to call it. You know, I jump in a car, I stay in a hotel room, and then how I do what I do is I get in a plane, I travel to a place, I book a program, I get there, I speak, I leave, right? That's how I do and what I do. That's not why I do it. The reason I speak 100, 125 times a year, the reason I'm gone from my family 80, 90 nights a year is because I firmly believe that when you can more effectively accomplish the things you feel like you need to do, it lets you have so much more fun when it comes time to doing the things you want to do.
Absolutely.
If that resonates with you, who cares where I go? Not who cares. You know what I mean? The how and the what, it's got to happen.
Right.
But stay tied to why you do it. And so I think as a dentist, if you find somebody, and this kind of ties into the other thing I want to talk about real quick, and then I'll stop talking, is find somebody that can help you. Find some mentor. There's a line that's been really hitting home with me lately, and half of it's not mine, and half of it is mine. The half that's not mine came from a gentleman by the name of Rob Hatch. He says, the groove and the rut physically look the same. The difference is how you perceive them.
Mm.
So I've taken that idea, that was one of those I hit. It was,
yeah.
You know, this one, I have line envy over that mm-hmm. one. I wish where I've taken that and I've expanded to say, you can always get in the rut on your own, but you got to have help to get in the groove.
Yeah.
Look back on your life, look back on your career, look back on it. Anytime you found yourself in the rut, I guarantee you figured out how to do that on your own.
Right.
But anytime you've been in the groove, I guarantee you've had some help along the way. So find somebody that you can surround yourself with. Maybe it's a coach, maybe it's a mentor, maybe it's a mastermind group, maybe, you know, I don't know. It works different for everybody. Find somebody that you look up to and can learn from and help you do that. Because whatever your goal is, whatever your, you know, finding that why, you can't do it on your own.
Right.
If you could, you would have done it already.
Right.
And it's 100% okay to need help with that.
Yeah. Well, as human beings, we're just not designed to reach our potential by ourselves. It's completely impossible to reach your potential. It's impossible to have a baby. I mean, clinically by yourself. It's impossible to do dentistry by yourself. Like, there's no dentists out there. Like, I'm going to do everything. I got it. I got it. I'm going to do it all. You can't build a business. You can't build a family. You can't build an organization. You can't build a country. You can't build anything without the help of other people. And also, too, there's people that have figured this stuff out, and you're not able to see yourself as clearly as somebody else might be able to, because really the truth of in today's marketplace, awareness is so low. And the why is huge. I always tell people, like, there are dentists that fix teeth and there are dentists that change people's lives. It's not the same business. You just got to decide which business you're. And Rob, you don't go to speak to go, hey, I'm so excited to give some information. Like, I just got some good information. You want to change some people's lives.
Yeah.
Like, you want somebody to call you a year from now or a month from now and go, you know what? You said something. It changed my life.
Those are my favorite calls. I know you get those calls.
I love
when those calls show up.
Yep.
Rob and Stacia, I got to share a win with you.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's super rewarding.
It is awesome.
I told you, I fly around the country helping people learn how to be a better version of themselves.
Right. Obviously, you change people's lives, but really, ultimately, the byproduct of it is you're crazy happy with what you do professionally, which lends itself to a whole spectrum of other things we couldn't even dive deep into. Because when you're happy dentist, happy life, you know, and happy wife, happy life. I mean, they all fit together. So,
And it's cool. And one of the cool parts, to feel like this is braggy, and it's not, because I have the privilege of working with so many different industries, I love coming into the dental world because it's a very specialized business. And I love being able to say, okay, so I'm working with a financial advisor or I'm working with a sales professional. And here's how they were able to use this. And they go, I never would have thought about that just because they're not exposed to it. And so that's really fun as well. It's just helping bring in other experiences and wins and industries that are super relevant. They're super relevant and pertain to what dentists do as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So what else do I have to put on my to-do list when I'm going to fix this reptile brain that I have between my ears here? So,
get clear on what you want and why it's important to you. That's number one.
Yep. So how would I do that? How would I do that?
It's a self-evaluation. It's candidly, for a lot of people I work and talk to, it's finding a coach or a mentor or an accountability partner that can help walk you through that process. Find a process, find something that you resonate with. I'm not for everybody.
Right.
You know, find something that you can connect with. Get clear on what you want and why it's important to you. Talk to yourself in a positive manner. Be kind to yourself. Find something that really resonates with you and repeat it over and over and over to yourself. Pay attention to how you start your day. The first 30 to 60 minutes you're awake, that is the most important part of your day. And what you do, what you say, what you expose yourself to in the first 30 to 60 minutes you're awake will set the tone for the rest of your day.
Yeah.
And to steal another line from Chris Brogan, your day is your week, is your month, is your quarter, is your year.
That is so true.
I know that you love to talk about Blue Monday. It's the same idea.
Yeah.
Just said a different way. So pay attention to what you're doing. Incorporate those things that are important to you into your morning routine and then practice gratitude.
Yeah. And so for those of you that don't know what Blue Monday is, you can Google it. There's a lot of different thought processes around it, but it's the most depressing day of the year. It usually falls on a Monday, the third week in January. And somebody even created a formula for it. It's the time that you realize your New Year's resolutions have failed. Your credit card bills are now coming in. You know, it's cold. Like, you got all this compounding effect. You're like, oh man, it's a brand new year and I'm not even, and I'm getting older. And this year is going to be pretty much like next year. And what happens in a lot of people's lives too, Blue Monday becomes an effect where it starts as Blue Monday and it carries through the Blue Week. And we tell dentists all the time, you know, you're not going to have four amazing days. Let's try to have more better days than we do have rough days. And that's a good place to start. It might be a 3-1 ratio, you know, or a 2-2 ratio. Let's get it to a 3-1 ratio. Every once in a while, you're going to do 4-0, and that'll be a phenomenal week.
Yeah. Be a little bit better today than I was yesterday.
Absolutely.
Nobody's ever said that.
Right. Now, when you cross the 40 threshold too, you said something earlier that I need your help with this, is the memory thing. As every year that passes, I think I'm going a little bit more and more crazy and you forget stuff. Like, I go through all four of my kids. Like, you forget your kids' names. You're like, now what happens is our brains, and how can I fix the memory? Like, where would I even start? Is it natural to feel like this?
Yes. The short answer, yeah, it's pretty natural. I have fantastic conversations with people all the time because of what I do. And I'd be like, it's funny. I get people that are like, my memory sucks, man. Dude, I got to go through the Rolodex just to remember my kid. I remember my kids' names. I had one guy's like, dude, I straight up forgot to pick up my kids from school the other day. Ooh. Like, I'm not Dr. Phil. That's a marital thing. Like, you get that figured out on your own. But, you know, like, I used to have a great memory and now my memory sucks. Mm-hmm. Or I get other people that are like, memory guy, huh? Check this out. I got a really good memory. I don't know what it is, man. I'm really good at remembering my buddy's names and their second wife and, you know, the kind of car they drive. I got a good memory.
Yeah.
And so here's the big thing to understand is that your memory isn't good or bad. Your memory is either trained or it's untrained. I'm going to say that again. Your memory isn't good or bad. Your memory is either trained or it's untrained. It's funny. I've had two articles pop across my inbox in the last 2 days talking about, they just did a big study. They did a big memory study. And, you know, there's these memory athletes. There's these guys that compete every year at the memory championships where they're remembering they're memorizing a deck of cards in 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. They're looking at a contact sheet of 30 names and faces for 45 seconds. And then the flashcards of the pit, they're like, that's Phil, that's Tony, that's Lucy.
Yeah.
What the study proved is that people who are these memory athletes, these people who have incredible memories, their brain isn't hardwired any different than you or me or anybody. We all have the same hardwiring. The difference is that they've learned the methodologies and the skills that it takes. They've trained themselves to be able to recall more information. So there's a lot of different methodologies. Thinking visually is the biggest tip for using your memory the way it's designed to be used. So your memory thinks in pictures. And I don't know if I'm answering your question on how to fix this, but I'm going to try. And here's the other thing I'll tell people. I tell people all the time, there's no little blue pill for memory.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Very funny.
You know what I mean? Like,
very funny.
You're going to learn the skill and you got to practice and cultivate the skill. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like swinging a golf club or riding the bike.
Right.
You know, you a golfer?
Not a good one.
Okay. This is perfect then. The first time you went out golfing, you probably spent more on balls than you did on greens fees.
Right? True. True. Very true.
You may still do that. I don't know. Uh-huh. But, you know, the only way to get better at golf is to play more golf.
Right.
Right. Same thing with your memory. The way to utilize your memory training skills and get better at using it is to practice it more. So anyway, your memory thinks in pictures. So the more that you can put things in imagery and add action, emotion, the higher the likelihood that you're going to remember that. So instead of just dropping your keys on the table, you talk about losing your keys earlier.
Yeah.
Just picture those keys blowing up every time that you set them down somewhere. And then later on, when you're like, where to put my keys? You go, oh, wait, what blew up? Right. Oh, the table blew up.
Right.
And so just adding action, emotion, and a picture, that's how your brain works. So that, like, that's one methodology we teach people. And then, there's a lot of different, there's like 8 different techniques that we teach people for memorizing things like numbers and lists and names and abstract information and foreign languages and all kinds of, you know. It's funny. I had a girl shows up at one of my workshops. She had to remember the heart. She had an anatomy test. And she holds up this piece of paper and it's 157 different clinical words. And so she's like, what do I do? So I taught her how to use her brain, how to break it down phonetically. I got a text message from her 2 weeks later. She goes, I nailed the test. Aced the test. Thank you so much for that. So it's little things like that, that you don't normally think about, but have a huge impact on your life. So think visually. And then learn a system for memorizing whatever it is. You know, if it's lists, if it's whatever it is.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
awesome. The names thing I know comes up all the time, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a good way to do it. When somebody gives me their name, I'll always go, oh, I knew that. That was one of the guys that lived next door to me as a freshman. He lived in the room right next to me. And then that'll be kind of like the film that I put over it. I'm like, oh, I'll never forget his name because that guy lived right next to me. And it's a visual picture every time I see him.
Yep. You're on the right path for sure. Creating a lot of people try, that's association, right?
Right.
I'm associating this unknown dude that I just met with a known dude that I knew in college.
Yeah.
Challenge with that methodology is that you probably know a lot of dudes from college.
Yeah.
And so you're like, hey, Tony, Jim, John.
Yeah.
John. You know, there's a high margin of error with association.
I had a lot of guys in college and they all had the same name.
Well, that helps, man.
Buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Buddy.
Yeah. Hey. What's up, Chief? You've been
chief. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, no, no.
It's but good then, stuff. You know, it's funny, like talk about the names thing and the impact on business. What I tell dentists all the time is that general dentists especially are faced with the same challenge as hairdressers.
Right.
And that's indifference. And I'll always ask the ladies in the room, I'll say, ladies, when you go to your hairdresser, if you don't feel like she knows you and wants to have a conversation with you, what do you do? And they're like, oh, I'm out of there. You know, and then the same thing goes because, man, where I live, there's no shortage of options for me to go to a dentist. You know, if I need a cleaning, if I need, you know, I need some general dentistry done, there are 15 places between my house and my actual dentist.
Right.
So this is where people, they laugh about memory training. You know, you first hear about like memory training, I don't need that. And then you have that situation where you run into your patient in the frozen food section and you're like, oh, and you can't go to them, hey, open your mouth so I know who you are.
Yeah.
You know,
because they,
you're Rob.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got to like hide behind the mayonnaise. Because you're afraid to have an interaction with them. Like that has an impact on your business and your confidence and everything.
Yeah, so it's huge, buddy. Well, I really appreciate this, brother. Now, if people want to find you, where can I find you? Where I find Rob Z?
Yes.
Other than speaking all over the country.
Oh, yes. Other than, yes, the glamorous life of a professional speaker. You can find me at a Marriott usually.
Yeah.
So if you head over to freedompersonaldevelopment.com is our company's website, spelled just like it sounds. Otherwise, I've got a personal blog I update every now and again. It's at theonlyrobz.com. It's R-O-B-B-Z, the only Rob Z. It's not narcissistic. It's actually was incredibly difficult to find a Rob Z website when I was looking. So I ended up with the only Rob Z. I'm on the Twitters. I'm at the only Rob Z on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. Just search Rob, R-O-B-B Zaberski. There's not too many of us floating around. Shouldn't be too hard to find me. Man, I'd connect with me. I'm a riot to follow on social media. But that's the best place to connect with me. And then check out, I'm speaking at a lot of conventions and study club groups and all kinds of fun stuff. But start with freedompersonaldevelopment.com.
Absolutely. Make sure you read the book too, called Train Your Brain, correct?
Train Your Brain for Success. It's written by my business partner and best friend, Roger Seip, S-E-I-P. It's a fantastic book.
Yeah.
I'm biased. But it's a great read. It's basically like an owner's manual for your brain.
It is. And we all need it. So thank you, brother. Really, really appreciate it.
This has been so much fun.
It's awesome. Hold on while we say goodbye to everybody else. And so thank you for watching. If you've been watching, we really appreciate your feedback, your thoughts, your comments, and everything. And if you enjoyed today, which I hope you did, do us a favor. Just hit the share button and share it with your friends. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys have a great evening.